Well, guys, on the heels of a very exciting round one of an extended playoffs, we've got some really good matchups here in week number two going on right now. And I think the theme of this week right here is rematch, because we've got a lot of games this week in round number two that are rematches of not only games that we've had this year throughout the season, but also games like DeSales versus Granville that was a rematch from the playoffs last year. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. I am Ryan Baker. He is the guru, Lee Cochran, from This Week Sports across from me, and our head coach, Larry Wolf, here to the right of me. And Lee, that's the big thing when I look at this, rematches this week.
And don't forget Westville South playing Massillon. But, you know, it's been that way for the most part, you know, for a while, because the Division I, Region III, that's all Central Ohio teams, so you're going to run into it. And Division II, Region VII, is pretty much the same thing. You know, so these coaches, I think, expect to see him again. You know, Canal Winchester's coach, Jake Keener, you know, he said that he was looking forward to it. You know, he wanted to see it again. He said there wouldn't be much change because, you know, they played in, I think, week nine. And, you know, you go to the other extreme with Upper Arlington and Reynoldsburg. We talked to both those coaches last week. That's a rematch from week one. And both of them said, you know, their teams really aren't the same from week one.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, you're 10 weeks removed from that first week showdown. And right now it's a 24-12 game. And Reynoldsburg had a chance to score here in the last couple of minutes, and they threw an incompletion in the end zone. So, I mean, it's another one of those. And by the way, the last time they played, Upper Arlington scored the last 21 points to win 42-41 or something like that. So the point is, that game's not over, that's for sure. And several of these games are going to go right down to the wire.
So you referenced it there, too. Big Walnut and Canal Winchester, that's a big rematch. Bloom Carroll and Highland, that's a rematch from week one of this year. So a lot of things happening right now, and a lot of games here. Big games to talk about. Let's start off in Division I, Region II here, guys. It has been all Marysville tonight. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. 35-0 here. We see Marysville over Perrysburg. Also in that Region II, Springfield has a 27-0 lead over Dublin Jerome, and Dublin Kaufman is losing big. I believe it's 31-0 to Findlay right now.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised Marysville's winning. Probably not too surprised they're winning big. But Perrysburg had come in pretty hot. They'd won four in a row, and three of those had been by shutouts. They had five shutouts for the season, allowing, you know, I think just a shade under 12 points a game.
But this Marysville team is a juggernaut. We've said that since probably about week four, that they were just starting to get their sea legs, and they have a couple special players, but they've gotten so much depth from a lot of other players. They now have multiple running backs, multiple linebackers who could get this job done, and their defense is stifling.
And guys, while we're sitting there in Region 2, we do have our first final of the night, and it is that Kaufman game. Findlay beats Dublin Kaufman by a score of 38-8. So the Cinderella story there of Dublin Kaufman being the 14th seed, getting the win last week, their season comes to an end at a record of 4-8.
Yeah, I mean, they had the big win over Huber Heights Wayne last week, and you know, I don't know how many times they can pull that off. Obviously, it ended tonight, and it's a for the first season for Coach Stokes, some up and down, but as he's told us, you know, it's a learning process for that program. So we'll see what they do in the off season and where they're at next year.
Yeah, and Findlay's a good football team. So Dublin Kaufman got the big win last week on the last play of the game. Yeah, lightning's not going to strike twice. This isn't the natural. So we have to understand that Findlay was the higher seed, the better team. And they proved it tonight on the field.
And after the years of success at Dublin Kaufman under Mark Crabtree, obviously a new regime in this year, it's going to take time, Coach Stokes said. But You got to think people in Dublin aren't very happy right now with a 4-8 season.
Yeah, you know, and probably not. And, you know, you look at it and, you know, the Dublin Kaufman we remember, you know, is the one that was, you know, regional finals,
a juggernaut,
yeah. Offensive juggernaut. But, you know, like you say, you know, you come in, you change things. There's a little bit of a learning process.
Absolutely.
And you have to wonder if it would be any different if Coach Crabtree was there or not. Again, these are things that you just don't know for sure. With that, let's head over to Division One, Region Three. The number one seed is Upper Arlington. Guys, Carson Grisak has just scored his third touchdown of the night. He's got an 81-yarder and now a 52-yarder. They lead Reynoldsburg, does Upper Arlington 31-12.
Well, it was in that opener that he kind of, we knew he was good, but he, you know, jumped into great in one game, going for 384. And, you know, there were times during the year that he was only running the ball 13 times, 16 yep. times. And Coach Buttermore said, you know, well, we got to save him. You know, he could run the ball 30 times a game, but that's not going to make us a better football team. And we want to be a better football team. And, you know, I guess they thought, well, it worked the first time. Let's see if it works the second time.
Well, and that game was 17-0, and then Reynoldsburg scored the last possession of the first half, the first possession of the second half to cut that score to 17-12, and then Grisak ripped off the 81-yarder to kind of open the door a little bit, and now he's done it again with another 50-plus yarder. So, you know, two big touchdowns here in the second half.
Well, and that's
for him.
And that's when Reynoldsburg had the fourth down play go off the, you know, yep. just a little bit too much in the end zone. They always call it a game of inches, and you know, you wonder what happened. You know, if we're going to play the wonder game that Ryan was doing there a little bit ago, you wonder what would happen if Reynoldsburg had caught that pass.
Just hang on, there's still time on the clock.
Yeah.
You never can say with Reynoldsburg because they are explosive. So, but obviously, Upper Arlington has been the number one seed. And they're a solid football team, and we don't expect them to get beat. But if anybody can do it, it would be Reynoldsburg.
Yeah, you know, and when I was looking at things today, you start looking at possible matchups in the next round, you know, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but boy, you know, a couple 12-0 teams have the potential to play next week in Upper Arlington and New Albany.
Yep.
And then in the other one, there's a potential for the Pickerington, North Pickerington Central rematch. I mean, for regional semifinals, I mean, that would be pretty doggone interesting.
Yeah, because it's a rematch, and that Central's only loss this year was to mm-hmm. North. And so that's assuming North can beat Gahanna. And Gahanna is they are a formidable challenger too. I mean, they've got some dudes.
Oh yeah, they beat them. They beat them in the regular season. Yep. Beat them in week 8. Beat Pickerington North. So yeah, you know, and you know, Gahanna is running a freshman quarterback, Brennan Ward, Coach Ward's son. You know, and I think it who was it? Finley, also running a freshman quarterback. I just find that odd. You know, I had that circle. Division One. Okay, I mean, it's smaller. You know, Division 5, 6, 7. You can see
sure.
it. Division One, man, that just blows my mind when you see a freshman quarterback.
Well, a lot of these kids are getting such great training at these quarterback camps. You know, they go away to camp. They might go to two or three camps as a seventh grader or an eighth grader, and then they grow. They're big and strong kids. I mean, they're not like those old 5'6", 135-pound freshman quarterbacks we used to have. These kids can, you know, they got some decent size to them. So, I mean, my point is that they're not just freshmen. They're freshmen age-wise, but not maturity-wise, not football maturity-wise.
Well, and you look at Finley's quarterback, Ryan Montgomery. Yeah, he's not there to hand off the ball either.
No.
Yeah, he's
slinging it.
Yeah, he's thrown for 1,800 yards and 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. You know, holy cow.
It's Ben Roethlisberger is the second, right? Finley High School, watch out, boys.
Guys, before we go to Division One, Region Three, we just got our second final of the night. DeSales season comes to an end. They lose to Granville 19-12. Granville avenging that loss last season to DeSales in round two of the playoffs. One little tidbit in this one, though, Kyle Nicely for DeSales, he caught a touchdown pass with 1 minute left in the game to cut that score to 19-12. That was his 48th catch of the season, most in school history for Kyle. So congratulations to him. I know he'd rather have the win, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there's another one. I was kind of curious how Granville would respond to this. Their quarterback, Carson Crouch, he got hurt on a conversion run last week, missed that game, and was expected. He was expected out tonight too. If he can come back, I mean, Granville can make quite a run. But I think that this might be Granville's first second round victory in program history.
Well, that would be an interesting statistic because they've had a solid program for 20 years, 25 years. I mean, they've been good since Mike used to coach there. I can't remember his last name, darn it. His escape.
Mike Hensley.
I mean,
yes.
He started this Chuck and Duck about 1,000 years ago over there, and they've been solid ever since.
But when he was coaching, I think they were still only take when he started coaching, they were still taking four, and they might have expanded to eight.
Right.
You know. There's been quite a few coaches. Coach Buttermore came from there,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Guys, in Division I, Region 3, the winner of the Upper Arlington-Reynoldsburg game will play the winner of New Albany and Hilliard Derby, and that is New Albany right now. This game has been close, but they've kind of pulled away here with two quick touchdowns back-to-back. New Albany now leads Derby 49-26. Jaden Garnes is having a huge game in this one, as he has four touchdowns on the night and well over 200 yards rushing.
How's this game not over? I mean,
they're scoring a lot.
I bet there hasn't been a dozen passes in this game.
Well, they both may have to stop and figure out what to do for an extra point because they normally chew up the clock so long that they've got time to think about it. But now they're scoring in bunches. It was 21-20 at halftime, and New Albany has put 28 points on the board in the second half, and Derby scored seven. So I mean, six. So it's. There's a lot of scoring going on in this game, a lot more than I thought Derby thought would happen.
Well, when you did that ad and you looked up, I didn't know if you were thinking or praying that you were right.
Both. I was praying that I was thinking is what I was.
Guys, also in Region 3 tonight, Pickerington North and Gahanna are playing each other. Pickerington North has just taken a 20-14 lead. This one also a rematch from, I believe it was Week 9. Eli Coppice in the Wildcat formation just threw a touchdown pass to Malik Ray, and that's the difference in this game.
Well, I think they ran that quite a bit last week, and I think he went over 100 yards, Eli did. So, you know, hey, at this point, whatever you can get that works, keep doing it.
Well, Pickerington North beat Pickerington Central earlier in the year, and then they kind of just lost their way there. They lost three ball games, and, they just kind of they weren't playing Pickerington North football, and maybe they've corrected it. Maybe they haven't. I mean, it's Gahanna, so you got – two good football teams going at it here. So this is going to go down to the wire.
Yeah, that was part of that. When they lost to Gahanna in Week 9, that was right after they had lost that 20-19 game to New Albany.
Right, right.
And just had a hard time coming back from that. And, you know, Gahanna's not the team you want to have to go rebound against either.
Well, no. And if you remember that New Albany score, they scored like two touchdowns in the last 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes to win that game by one. And so it was a gut punch. So, you know, maybe they've rebounded, maybe they haven't. But we'll see.
Well, but you look at Pickerington North. I mean, we've talked about how Hilliard Derby's losses have been tight and to good teams. Pickerington North's three losses are to Marysville, New Albany, and Gahanna. There's a combined two losses in those three teams.
They need to play a tougher schedule, don't they? And they played Pickerington Central earlier.
Yeah,
and beat them.
So,
guys, you asked Lee how that game is not over. It is now. So New Albany gets the win 49-26. They await that winner of Reynoldsburg and Upper Arlington. The Pickerington North Gahanna winner, they will play the winner of Pick Central and Hilliard Bradley, and that has been all Pickerington Central tonight, 28-3 is the score in that one. Braden Flaherty, quarterback of Hilliard Bradley, missed the first game when these two played in Week 5. He left this one in the second quarter with a leg injury and did not return that I've seen. Mm-hmm. So tough night for him there. Jump back to Region 2 real quick, guys. We have another final. Marysville, the one seed. They're 11-0 now. They're moving on as they beat Perrysburg tonight by a score of 42-6. In Division 2, Region 7, the rematch of Big Walnut and Canal Winchester is going all Big Walnut tonight. That one, 30... 1-7 now. I'm seeing Nate Seavers having a big night there for Big Walnut. Massillon, Washington is playing Westerville South. You mentioned this was a rematch of last year's playoff matchup. I think it was 45-36 in that one last year, Lee, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Tonight, though, Massillon jumped on Westerville South early, and they're doing everything they can to hang around here. 43-19 is the last score I've seen on that one, Massillon leading Westerville South.
Well, Massillon did the same thing to him last year, jumped on a quick Westerville South, fought back, made it close. You know, they just don't have enough this year, it looks like, to do that.
You can't.
And Massillon, they're they're 3 straight years of being state runner-up. I mean, all they're thinking about is a state title. Everybody is, but I think, you know, everybody's determined to win state. But let's be
honest.
They've never won one. They've been second 3 years in a row. If there's a determined team out there, it's Massillon, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, they have to win a state championship. At some point, you would think they have to win a state championship. This is maybe the most fabled, most storied football program, well, certainly in the state of Ohio, if not in the Midwest, if not in the United States, in the country. I mean, everybody knows where Massillon High School is. It's DePaul Brown. It's that whole lineage of coaches, that whole lineage of players that have come through there. I mean, it is one of the most fabled programs in the history of high school sports.
Yeah,
and they've never won a playoff championship.
Yeah, and I think it was the second choice for the book Friday Night Lights. You know, it was come down to Perryman,
mm-hmm,
and Massillon, Washington, and you know, they just went to Texas.
Well, I remember watching Chris Spielman play for them against Moeller when they had Duan and Hiawatha Francisco and all those guys. And they played in Ohio Stadium, and I think they had like 31,000 people. And my brother came up from Texas, and I had told my brother how good Moeller was. And he goes, oh, they're coming down to Texas to play one of the big schools in Texas. I go, hey, pal, I'm going to tell you what, Moeller's the real deal. And I think they beat, it wasn't Parkland, it was one of the big schools, mm-hmm, in Texas. I think they beat them like 49-7. In Texas. Mm-hmm. And I said, I tried to tell you, John, these guys can play. Well, he came up to Ohio from Texas to watch the state finals with me. And, you know, the Moeller just blasted Massillon, just, mm-hmm, blasted him. And it's, you know, you at some point, Massillon's got to win a state title. They got to win a state title.
Just an update on that game. Massillon did just score, so they're up 50-13 now, or 50-19, excuse me, on Westerville South. Big Walnut has gone final. They win. They beat Canal 38-7 tonight, so they're moving on, and it looks like they will play Massillon, Washington. We mentioned Nate Seavers, 196 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns tonight for the sophomore for Big Walnut. The other area team in that region, number 7, is Dublin Scioto. And last I saw, they're trailing Wooster tonight 14-0. We'll look to see an update on that one.
That's the Wooster team that knocked off, their 14 seed, knocked off Berlin last week, a number 3 seed. So they're enjoying these trips to Central Ohio, it seems.
Yeah, and as good of a night as it was for the city of Dublin last week, it looks like equally a bad night.
Yeah.
Tonight for them in round number 2. Hilliard Bradley has just scored a touchdown. Mitchell Robinson, 33-yard catch from Michael Hunkus, and it is 28-10 now. They've cut that lead of Pickerington Central's down by 7, but that one is 2:21 left in the game. In Division 3, Region 11, Larry, our screen must be behind because Niall Johnson has scored a 5-yard touchdown run for Hartley, and they have tied up London at 17. The winner of that one will play Granville, who won tonight over DeSales. Obviously, we told you just a few minutes ago. Eastmore, they are the 7th seed playing Jackson, the 2. And the last update we got on that, Jackson had a 10-6 lead over Eastmore. They play the winner. Whoever wins that plays the winner of Western Brown in Bell Fountain. And then in Division 4, Region 15 tonight, Bloom Carroll, they have a 31-3 lead over Marengo Highland. That is a rematch from week number 1 that Bloom Carroll won 49-17. This game, though, was really close, guys, early on. In fact, it was 3-0 Highland for a while. It took Bloom Carroll kind of a little bit to get going there, but they took off and have got the big lead now.
Yeah, it was close early. The Highland could bank on that, I guess. You know, this is a Bloom Carroll team that, You know, they offensively, they've been held below 34 points not once in the last eight games. Are they one dimensional? No. The Highlands scored 17 against them in the opener. That's the most points they've given up in any game this year.
Well, I think they're making a point of that right now. They're saying, boys, you got 17 plus 3 is 20. That's an average of 10. We'll take 10 and we'll call it a season for you guys. Because I'm telling you what, this Bloom Carroll team, we've said it all year, they have a real shot. They have a real shot of going the distance. They've got great defense. They've got a tremendous offense. They've got good athletes. And they know how to win. They've been there. They've done that. It's now time for them to bring home the big trophy.
Guys, Pickerington Central is moving on. It has just gone final. They beat Hilliard-Bradley 28-10 tonight. Also seeing that Worcester has a 17-7 lead over Dublin Scioto. Now back to Region 15. The other kind of local team there in that one is Heath. They were trailing Indian Valley by a score of 21-6, but Heath has caught fire. They now lead 41-20 in that game. So the Bulldogs awakening and taking off there. If they win that game, looks like they will play Bloom Carroll in the next round. That will be a great matchup.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun one. You don't want to say, I think Bloom Carroll would obviously be the favorite in that one. But, you know, he's had a real good year, you know, and especially, you know, when you're down 20-6 and then you're up 41-20, you know, turning it on. You know, again, we've talked to so many coaches about what momentum can do. And you get something like that where it's not that your heads are down when you're down 20-6, Coach. I'm sure there's once or twice you were down a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, I made a career of it.
And you could probably tell the difference in being down 20-6 when you don't know that you can come back, or 20-6, you're like, it's a matter of time.
Right. Sometimes when it's 20-6 and you're behind, it's because maybe you shot yourself in the foot, some crazy break happened, and you go, wait a second. We're blocking, we're tackling, we're doing things we need to do. Just hang in there, something good will happen. There are other times when it's 7-0 and you go, oh, we're out of this game, we're in trouble. This is because you know that they're out blocking you, they're out tackling you, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and they look like they might be angry tonight. You know what I mean? It's one of those games. So,
but when you also have the successful program that Heath does, there's a lot of faith and trust from players to coach, coach to players. And so you're looking at, The players are looking at you and you're saying, hey guys, we're doing everything right. We've had a couple bad breaks. Be patient. Yeah. There's no 14 point play out there. We're going to get them and we're going to do it.
Yeah, because when you're down 20-6, the next possession makes it 20-14. Oh, yeah. You just take it down, you score, you hold them. Now you can take the lead 21-20, and now Big Mo's on your side. So, I mean, it happens that quickly. You know, it seems like 20-6. Well, what's happening 20-6? Who has the ball 20-6? If you have the ball and you're down 20-6, you can make it 20-14 right now. Right now. So just take the ball down and score, and then let's play football. It's a one-score game. And that's usually the way this works. So,
well, that's kind of what's impressed me about Upper Arlington tonight. Reynoldsburg got to score at the end of the half.
And the first
and
score.
Got to score right at the beginning of the half. Or beginning of the second half.
Yep.
And right then, Upper Arlington could have just said, uh-oh, here it comes. But they didn't. They said, here we come.
Well, they gave it to Greasock, and he went 81 yards. I'm not sure it was.
Here we come. There he goes.
There he goes. That's exactly right. It wasn't like anything that they drove the ball down. They just gave it to their best player, and he went, we'll see you. And he pulled away from everybody, and then the floodgates opened. So right now, you know, that's a game that seemed to be a lot closer than the score is indicating now. So.
Guys, and real quick, that Region 15, all four of those games have just gone final. So Bloom Carroll, they win 31-3. They will play Heath next week, who beats Indian Valley 41-20. On the other side of that bracket, St. Clairsville, the 2 seed, they're moving on. They beat Carrollton tonight by a score of 38-9. Next week, they will play Meadowbrook, who upset John Glenn tonight by a score of 28-21. We're going to take our first time out of the evening here on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we have games heading down to the wire. Hopefully more finals. We'll give them to you next, coming up on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. the leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof Team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
I gave a talk recently, and an older man with a walker approached me afterwards. I think he had had a stroke, but he was still strong and full of life. His eyes lit up as he started to give me some unsolicited parenting advice. He said, "I have four girls, and starting on their fifth birthday, I pull up my antique Chevy, ring the doorbell, and give them flowers and take them on a date." Tears started streaming down his face as he said, "And when I turned 50, they all came to my door with flowers and took me on a date." Dads, it doesn't take much time or money to make your kids feel really, really special. Anything from an ice cream date to asking how her day was and listening to the answer. But it does take focused one-on-one time. Look, you might regret a lot of things when you're looking back at life someday. One thing I can promise you won't regret is wasting focused time on those kids. Make sure you do it. This is Chris Stefanik. For more of our men's program, visit reallifecatholic.com.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It is round two of the playoffs. Glad to have you along on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Guys, hard to believe. I know this show's just started, but we only got one more of these left. We're only going next Friday, round three of the playoffs. Then what are we going to do on Friday nights, guys?
Go to a hockey game. I don't know. It's going to be a lonely Friday night.
I like the hockey game part of it. You know that, Wolfie. So oh, yeah. I'm cool with that.
You're already talking about it being over, man. We got a lot to do between now and then.
We got an absolute.
My goodness, I'm tired of your cup always being half empty. For a month, you've been like, oh, we've only got five shows left. We've only got four shows left. I say we still got four to go.
And I'm excited about all of it. I told you, we're early in tonight. We've got a bunch to go, but...
When you get them from Grove City, you know, I'm just saying right there. Come on, babe.
I just wish we could do it every Friday.
That's right. So do I. Three extra weeks. Grove City, you used to shut it down after week 10. You got three more weeks.
Hey, we got an extra week. Yeah, how about go. That extra, this year for the
right,
Dawgs?
That's right.
Guys, let's go ahead and give you the finals that we have right now for the regions involving the Central Ohio teams. Marysville, we already talked about, 42-6. They beat Perrysburg tonight. They will play the winner of Centerville and Toledo-Whitmer. Do not have a final on that one yet. Dublin-Jerome, they are trailing Springfield 27-0 was the last update we had on that. The winner of that one will play Finley. Finley beats Dublin-Kaufman tonight 38-8. in Division One, Region Three. Upper Arlington is moving on, 31-12. They beat Reynoldsburg tonight. And Larry, you talked about this one. Reynoldsburg had a 17-0 lead. Reynoldsburg scored to end the first half, to start the second half, and then Gressock's 81-yard touchdown run really kind of changed the momentum back.
Yeah, it was Upper Arlington had that 17-0 lead.
Oh yeah, excuse me.
And Reynoldsburg scored on consecutive drives. And all they needed to do was, if they could have stopped Upper Arlington on the next drive, and Carson Gressock said, I don't think so. I'm going 81, and he's out the gate and see on down the road, and it blew the game open. I mean, I think it just broke Reynoldsburg's back. And it didn't like they quit, but it just broke their back because they had fought so hard to get back in that game, and they were less than, you know, they're 5 points down, and they just couldn't stop them.
It's just demoralizing.
Oh, it is demoralizing.
To see a kid go 81 yards when, yeah, when he went 384 in the opener, and you know he's going to be getting the ball. And Buddy White had talked about how much his defensive line had improved, mm-hmm, how much his entire defense had improved since then. You know, and it was those two runs. You know,
and I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it either.
Yeah, yeah. And Gressock, you know, after the 81-yarder, next series he had a 51-yarder or so.
Yeah, that's the knife in the back there. I mean, that's, you go from, you know, the nail in the coffin to the knife in the back, so...
You talk about a matchup next week of two 12-0 teams. How about this? New Albany beats Hilliard Darby tonight, 49-26. So 12-0 versus 12-0 next week when Upper Arlington takes on New Albany.
Well, you know, from our perspective, I know who's going to be there for this week's sports.com. That's going to be Dave Papura. Yeah. He covers both those teams.
Yeah, there you go.
He's all fired up already.
He already knows everybody on both those teams. So, yeah, he is excited. That's going to be a great matchup. And you know, obviously, New Albany's going to be the underdog. Upper Arlington's the one seed. Albany's the four seed. Mm. Be careful. Be careful.
I think at this point, you know, the seedings mean something, but I don't think a 1-4 you get any kind of upset. But it sure will be interesting to see those teams match up. I think that's one matchup we've been looking forward to.
It's 12-0. It's two 12-0 teams. You don't get that very often.
Larry, for a second there, I thought you were going to say, you know where you'll be next Friday night. I thought you were saying you were going to go.
We're doing the show on location. That's great. What
idea. I'll do live remote.
We'll do it from the
phone. Driving here on the phone talking to us. I thought that's where you were going with that. The two seed in that region is Pickerington Central, and they were moving on 28-10. They beat Hilliard-Bradley tonight. Guys, Pick North has a 20-14 lead over Gahanna and the ball at the 50-yard line right now, with just over 2 minutes left to play in that one.
Yeah, Jared Ory texted and said that Pickerington North's trying to run the clock out. So
we're going to have a battle of Pickerington next week. North versus Central in a rematch of the only loss Central has. And, you know, when that happened, we said, hey, this North team's pretty good. And then they stumbled down the path at the end. But here we go.
You know, to think about it, I mean, we talked about Arlington and New Albany being the match we would want to see. You know, if you had one game to go to, it's almost a coin flip. I think you probably lean toward the 12-0, but you've got a community rivalry for a trip to the regional final. You know what? My scheduling this week becomes easy because if it's Central and North. That's Jared Ory. You know, everybody knows where
your job's halfway done here.
This scheduling's getting easy, fellas.
Guys, in Division Two, Region Seven, Big Walnuts moving on 38-7. They beat Canal. Next week it's a tough one though, as they will take on Massillon Washington, who gets by Westerville South 50-19. And Westerville South, real quick, finishing the year at 8-3, kind of had some quarterback uncertainty at the beginning of the year that maybe affected them a little bit. Great year for Coach Christ and the Wildcats.
Well, when we saw them early, they looked a little disheveled. They looked a little confused. Who's going to be this guy? Who's going to be that guy? They had, you know, Caden's a great running back, kind of a great receiver, kind of a average to better than average quarterback, but you want the ball in his hands. And we didn't know who they were. They didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Well, they straightened that out in a hurry, and they got it rolling.
You remember early on, you know, we talked to Coach Christ about, you know, the quarterbacks, and he just said, I don't want to comment. You know, but then, you know, they turned to Dominic Bertha. I think he's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's turned out to be, you know, quite a fine, you know, you know, he's thrown for, you know, 1,000 yards this year after not taking over until midway through the season. Yep. So, I mean, it's a program that knew their quarterback coming in every year, and I think that they know their quarterback coming in for the next couple years. And well, if they've learned, and that, you know, you hate to say, you know, that it's that this is a good stepping stone for them because they're going to lose a great core of receivers.
Absolutely.
But it is a little bit of a comfort for Coach Chris to know he's got his quarterback coming back, and it's the level sky high for him.
And with that, Nasir Phillips, who was their number two in their running back tandem, he's just a sophomore this year. He's coming back next year, too, and that dude is a bowling ball.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. They found a quarterback. He probably wasn't their best quarterback at the beginning, but he was their best quarterback at the end. And that's really the mark of good coaching and a good football program, because you have to find people along the way. And they found him. You have to live with the young kid early, but doggone it, he did a good job down the road, and they ended up 8-3. That's a pretty good season, or 8-3.
But and the one thing with Big Walnut, another sophomore, Nate Sievers, goes over 2,000 yards for the season tonight.
Yeah, and he's, I think, 37 touchdowns now on the year, too, with his two tonight. The other one in there is Dublin Scioto and Worcester, and I did see an update that's 17-10, Worcester. Not sure about that. Guys in Division III Region 11, tough night for the CCL. DeSales loses to Granville 19-12. Granville moves to 11-0, and DeSales ends the year with a record of 7-5. One you thought maybe DeSales could get, especially with the Granville quarterback out, but they come up just short.
Well, and they had a big turnover in that game. DeSales did. Turned it over on their own 18-yard line to give up a score. And you know, when you're in the playoffs, you just can't do stuff like that. And that's very uncharacteristic of a DeSales team. But, you know,
well, and it also says a lot about Granville.
Absolutely.
That you know, they can lose their senior quarterback, and then they go with a junior, Tyler Ernstberger, you know, and –
and they win.
And they win. And they beat it. They beat the sales team that had been rolling since getting Jonathan Thompson back. Yep. So, you know, that's pretty impressive out of Granville.
Well, and you're beating the pedigree of the sales too. They're a playoff team every year. They make big deep runs every year. You know, you have to beat that too. Those kids know how to win games. And hats off to Granville. I mean, 19-12, that's a big win.
Well, Granville had been eyeing this game. That was their last loss last year against the sales. They hadn't lost since then.
Yep.
So.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, good for Grant.
Congratulations.
And then the other one in there, Hartley, they lose to London tonight late, 24-7. Tough finish for Coach Birchfield and the Hawks. Great win, though, for Coach Kyle Cutler in London tonight.
Oh, absolutely. We're just watching it on the screen here, and it's they scored with 23 seconds to go in the game.
London was down 10-0 in this and just kind of chipped away and fought back and took the lead and just got a good win.
That's a London team that started out 0-2. And if you remember, when we were talking about teams in week three, because I went back and looked at my notes, and we were talking about teams that were surprising. We had talked a little bit about London being 0-2, because they've had a good run going the last few years, and you know, especially when they lost to Licking Valley, because we talked to Coach Boffman that night.
Correct.
And you know, it was after that they have just kicked it into gear, and tonight's impressive. Because I really thought Hartley would win. I had very little doubt that Hartley would win.
Well, I'll tell you what, in watching this game, we've been watching it on the screen here. The London Red Raiders are physical. They are big, they are strong, they are physical. And I don't think that surprised Coach Birchfield. I think he knew that. What it may have done was their speed and their power. They ran the ball at Hartley, which is something a lot of teams simply cannot do. They can't run the ball at Hartley. And this London Red Raider team ran the ball right at Hartley. They ran it right down their throats.
Well, Coach Birchfield told us last week when we talked to him about this game, he said they're big, they're physical, and they've got their strength is on the offensive and defensive lines.
Yep. Well, and they showed it tonight because they ran a lot of wing T type plays, a little misdirection in the backfield, fullback left, halfback right, and pull a guard, wrap him around, and they did a lot of nice things in this game. So hats off to London.
Guys, big win.
The other local team in Division 3, Region 11, was Eastmore. They have fallen tonight to Jackson, 17-6, the final in that one. Eastmore ends the year at 7-4. And then Division 4, Region 15, Bloom Carroll's moving on. They're 12-0, 31-3. They beat Marengo Highland tonight. Eath with a big come-from-behind win over Indian Valley, 41-20. The other teams in that region, St. Clairsville, 38-9. They beat Carrollton. They will play Meadowbrook next week, 28-21. They beat John Glenn. We talked about Pick Central, guys. They're 11-1. They beat Hilliard Bradley tonight, 28-20. Their head coach, Jay Sherritt, joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Coach Sherritt, congratulations on the big win tonight. Sonny Styles was huge for you guys with two interceptions, setting up two touchdown drives. The defense big for you tonight, Coach. What did you like from your defense?
Our defense has been stout all season, and they were put in some tough spots tonight, and they responded. We probably gave Bradley a couple more possessions there in the first half. If we were a little bit sharper, we could have had the ball in our hands instead. But when our backs were against the wall, they played stout defense, and one time they did get down there, and we held to a field goal. But, to win in advance, that's all you want to do at this time of the season. There's no style points. There's no stats. There's just the score. And if the score's on your side, you get to go another week, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, Coach, you're pretty used to that. 28 points on offense, pretty standard night. Were you happy with the offense? What made you happy? What were you maybe not so happy about?
No, I think we handled the ball really well. There's a couple of times we were pretty deep in our territory, and, you don't want to be silly with the ball at that time. So we plowed it out there and punted them out past the 50, and like I said, there's no style points to it or anything like that, but you want to make sure if a team is going to score on you, they're going to earn it, and we made them do that tonight. And like I said, though, as long as you score one more point in advance, that's all you look to do.
Well, now, Jay, this sets up a tremendous matchup next week. It's going to be Pickerington North against Pickerington Central, and that's your only loss. And I know that idea of revenge might be in the players' heads, but you guys are going back to work tomorrow morning to prepare for a team that beat you the last time. And obviously it's going to be a short night of sleep and a long night a long day of work tomorrow. But what do you look forward to in that game besides buckling up the chin straps a little extra tight?
Well, I think it's, all the stuff that comes and wraps around it with the community and that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to it, you want to win in advance. You know, we're playing Pickerington North, and they handed us our only loss. We've been in this position before when a team has beat us during the regular season. And you look at that team, because I'm sure they're not the same team. We're not the same team. And you reevaluate. You look at your old film, the game film, sure you do. But you want to see what both teams look like now, and that's how we have to approach it.
Well, Coach, I don't think this game gets really any bigger with it being the two Pickerington schools. Is it something you think the players were looking forward to?
I don't know about that. I think our guys, we've got a number of guys on the team that played in a lot of playoff games, and they know the thing is to advance, and that's what we're doing. And now you wrap the Pickerington North thing around it, I know you make it a bigger ball game. And when you get to this season, they should be big ball games, and this one will be a big one.
Coach, you talked about it. You guys, you've been here before. Your guys expect this. They know this. Getting to this point in the year, how much does that help you guys in the past for this year and moving forward as a program, getting these extra practices, getting these extra games, getting these extra weeks?
Oh, no doubt about it. There's definitely benefit to win playoff games. And it's like college when they get to play their bowl game and they get all those bowl practices. And you've got guys who have improved all season, and now they're playing the top football. And when you get to this point in the season, the other teams are too. But, we've got a number of our guys who have played a lot of football games, 30-plus, 40-plus games, some of them approaching 50-plus games. They know at this point is to win another one, to win another one. But your younger kids are watching how your older kids are preparing for these type of playoff games because, it's a long season. Kids start to their minds wander. They get burned out a little bit. But you got to keep the feet on the ground and keep moving forward. And when you have a lot of seasoned veterans already on your team, those young kids see how they handle it and how they approach it. And hopefully, it'll pay forward like you were talking about.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a great effort tonight against Hilliard Bradley. Good luck next week in the Battle of Pickerington, number 2.
All right, take care.
He's the head coach of Pickerington Central, Jay Sheridan. Surprise, surprise, Pick Central moving on in the playoffs.
Yeah, big surprise. Well, here's the thing that's not going to surprise anybody, and Jay knows this as well as Pickerington North's coach knows this. All the hoopla in the town is meaningless. It's going to come down to blocking, tackling, and turnovers. And whoever makes the mistakes, they're probably going to lose the game. Because both of these teams are outstanding football teams.
But you've got to convince the kids.
Right.
And that's
the hoopla's got to stay away from them. That's
a little bit more difficult to deal with that with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. Because, hey, I know that if I were wearing that Pickerington purple and I'd have gotten beat by North, I'd have been thinking, you know, after every game, yeah, we won this one. We're one step closer to getting another shot at North.
That's right. And you know that the revenge is going to be on the players' minds, but it's going to come down to X's and O's, blocking and tackling, like it always does, and all that hoopla will go out the door.
Play one, it goes out the door. Sure. You know, then it becomes a football game again.
That's right.
And I do get that. It's just
the lead up to that.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, you don't want to be too high coming into that, you know. I mean, but and that's kind of atmosphere. You give Central the distinct advantage. They're used to these games. You know, we've brought up before, we've talked about, you know, they're used to playing week 14, 15, and, you know, they're used to the big games.
Yeah, for sure, and you definitely, at this time of year, don't bet against Coach Jay Sheridan and the Pickerington Central Tigers. We got to take a quick break here on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we talked about the huge 12-0 versus 12-0 matchup next week, Upper Arlington in New Albany. We will talk to the head coach of the Golden Bears, Justin Buttermore. He's next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Isn't all truth just relative? I mean, you have your truth, I have mine.
Whoa, dude, what are you doing?
I'm gonna jump off this bridge, man.
You'll die.
No, I won't.
What, don't you believe in gravity?
That old superstitious nonsense? No way. Whee!
There are some things in life that aren't a matter of opinion. And just as in the physical world there are some things that are above debate, like gravity, there are things in the spiritual world that are just as true. And because human beings are physical and spiritual beings, every action that we take has physical and spiritual consequences. That's why things like the Holocaust weren't just dirty and disgusting, but because of the spiritual reality of God's creation, they were actually evil, regardless of what the Nazis thought. So we can't just dismiss the teachings of God's church as fine for some people, but not for me. That's just not the way that reality works. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to goarmy.com for more.
There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Ryan Baker, the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and every team needs a head coach, and ours is Larry Wolf. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Glad to have you along, guys. Week number two of the playoffs, rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4, playing regional regional quarterfinals tonight. Tomorrow night, it will be regions 5, 6, and 7 taking to the field, and a couple big matchups with some Central Ohio teams in those games tomorrow night. Don't forget tomorrow night, if you want the scores, check out the website, am820scoreboard.com. We'll have all the scores up there for tomorrow's games. You can also check us out at am820scoreboard on Facebook and Twitter. And Lee, some of your guys already getting recaps ready for tonight over at thisweeksports.com.
Oh yeah, the games have kind of seemed to go quickly, so the roundup will be up there with some photos. It's a fun time. The texts are fun because they're at their games, they're sending things in, everybody's talking. Technology, wonderful, 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 and it's just the greatest time of the year right now. Football playoff.
I'm sure one of the games they would have wanted to been to tonight was that big one in Region 3 as Upper Arlington and Reynoldsburg rematch from that great game in week number one. Upper Arlington pulls away tonight and comes away with a 31-12 victory. Their head coach, Justin Buttermore, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And coach, so much hype around that week one matchup, really all season long. And if you guys could ever play again, what would it be like? That was your toughest game of the season. Just how tough was it tonight playing that Reynoldsburg team again?
Oh, it was really difficult. They have unbelievable talent. And Buddy does a great job with them, but they're very difficult to deal with on both sides of the ball. We knew it was going to be a fight. We knew it was going to be difficult. We knew it wouldn't play out the same way as the first game, but we're happy to come out on top.
Well, I guess a little bit of it played out. You know, Carson Grisak, you know, he went over 2,000 yards for tonight. So, you know, he's had a tremendous season, but a quarter of his yards have come against Reynoldsburg. What is it about those Raiders that brings out the best in Carson?
I think it's that we give him more carries against them, mostly. We got to lean on him a lot in games like this, and he understands that. And, you know, in the games where we don't give him as many carries, you know, he's one of those guys that he wants the ball. So, we've been fortunate that we've been able to rest him, you know, much of the year in certain games. The bottom line is it's difficult to stop a guy like Carson, if you're going to give him the ball a lot. He really wears on you as the game goes on. And again, he busted a big one later in the game that really kind of sealed the victory. And that's a result of just wearing on the defense.
Well, Coach Buttermore, we were watching the game here. We're streaming it right here in the studio. And Reynoldsburg scored on back-to-back drives, one to end the first half, one to start the second half, to cut it to 17-12. And the next thing you know, it's Upper Arlington ball at the 21-yard line, and Mr. Grisak goes, or 19-yard line, he goes 81 yards. On the very next series, he goes, I think, 50 or 51 yards. Those two runs put the game out of reach. But up until that point, I mean, that game could have gone any direction possible, and the special talent of Mr. Grisak, and the offensive line, by the way, they did a great job as well. But those were big runs by Mr. Grisak.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, and our offensive line has played tremendous all year, in my opinion. And we've had a few different guys that have had to roll in due to injuries, but that group has really been terrific all year long. And it's a testament to our offensive line coach, who does a great job with them.
Okay, Coach, enough about offense. Let's talk a little defense. Reynoldsburg scored 12 points, their lowest output of the year, and this is a team that came in averaging over 30 points a game. What was happening defensively to lead that effort?
Well, number one, we tackled a lot better than we did week one, which I expected we would. I still think holding them to 12 was certainly difficult. We got a couple key stops in the red zone. We got a turnover, early in the game. You know, it was bend but don't break. But the bottom line is we prevented the big play. We didn't let them beat us over the top like we did the first time. And, you know, prevented some of the shorter. They caught the ball and ran the ball for long yardage the first time around. And we just didn't give up those 70, 80-yard, 60-yard plays like we did in the first go-around.
Coach, just piggybacking off that defensive question, Carter Brock had a big game for you guys, an interception. He also had an interception on a two-point conversion play. I think a sack and a couple tackles for loss. Talk a little bit about Carter and his game tonight.
Yeah, he had a great game, and I'm happy for him. He's a kid that puts in a ton of effort and a ton of time to be a great player. And, you know, made a great play on the first interception, took it down to the inside the one-yard line and set up a score. And then the two-point the pick on the two-point play was a big one as well because, you know, we had blocked the first extra point. So, you know, both those plays were big, and he's, you know, our middle linebacker and really runs the front seven. So I'm happy to see him have such a great game.
Okay, Coach, we've let you enjoy tonight.
it's time to think about next week. We're looking at a couple of 12-0 teams, and you know New Albany plays that wing T. You know they had Jaden Garnes go for 244 and four touchdowns. Brock Kidwell 165 and a touchdown. As Coach Wolf will tell you, you know it's that technician type of blocking that they do. Just talk a little bit about the matchup for next week.
Well, unfortunately, we have not had any crossover type games with them where we got film on them. So I've not seen them one time on film. So the only thing I've seen is highlights on, you know, Friday Night Football or something like that. But, I've heard from a couple people that I respect a whole lot that they are really, really impressive, in person and that, they execute at a very high level, very crisp. And I think Coach Kidwell is a great coach and a great person. So I'm sure he prepares them really well, but I honestly don't know a whole lot about them yet. We'll dig into that tomorrow and try to enjoy this for tonight and get ready.
Yeah, go have yourself a lemonade and enjoy this for a little while because it's going to be a short night's sleep anyhow.
Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. Not very often we get to see 12-0 versus 12-0. That's what we'll have next week in your game against New Albany. Congratulations, Coach, and good luck next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Upper Arlington, Justin Buttermore. What an impressive win tonight, 31-12, over a Reynoldsburg team that had been streaking. You mentioned, Lee, some of their offensive output in their last six games, which they had won five of. They hadn't scored less than 31 points in those six games.
Yeah, and, you know, both coaches told us last week they're different teams. Mm-hmm. And obviously Upper Arlington was a little bit more different. And you know, that just, my goodness, you can't say it enough. That should just be, in Division I, Region 3, those should be two great games next week.
Well, you know, when the score was 24-12 tonight, Reynoldsburg took the ball right down the field and threw an incomplete pass in the end zone on fourth down. It just turned the receiver the wrong way. It was kind of a back shoulder kind of throw, but he wasn't ready to make a back shoulder kind of catch. And so you don't get the score there. And the next thing you know, Carson Grisak goes 51 yards, and the game is essentially over at that point. But the point is, even in victory, and the score looks like it's 31-12, it's a blowout. It wasn't a blowout. These are two good football teams. We said it going in, this was going to be a marquee matchup, and it was.
What a matchup of running backs, too, next week, Grisak and Garnes.
But look what Grisak has done in two games against Reynoldsburg, 384, 251,
600 yards.
You know, and he's over 2,000 a year. It's closer to a third of his yardage against Reynoldsburg. Yeah. You know, Coach Buttermore did tell us, you know, we could run him 30 times a game and win, but, you know, you got to think it's long-term.
They've got so many runs in you.
They've got the NA plus. They've got a good balanced attack. You either have one good running back, or you have about three of them that you can just split the carries among.
Well, and what happened as a result of, and this is great coaching, of not running him 30 times a game, is their passing attack got better. Now they got that two-headed monster, Monin at quarterback and Grisak at running back. Is he going to throw it? Is he going to catch it? Is it going to be an RPO? Mm-hmm. What's it going to be? How do you stop that? That's their version of the wing T, you know. Try and stop us if you can.
Yeah.
Guys, real quick, before we head to a quick 1-minute break here, Worcester has doubled up and beaten Dublin Scioto tonight, 20-10. So Scioto season comes to an end at 8-4. 1 hour in the books, guys. Hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show coming back next, and we'll kick it off with the head coach of Marysville, undefeated Marysville, Brent Johnson, next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Is there a virtue that you are struggling with right now? Maybe patience, or being on time, or gratitude? Ask your home accountability partner, your spouse, to help you form a resolution and help you stick to it. This takes vulnerability and humility, but your spouse will appreciate your openness and effort as you take responsibility for growing in virtue. This daily marriage tip is brought to you by the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Columbus Diocese.
WVSG Columbus, Ohio. This is the home for listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Ryan Baker, the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and our head coach, Larry Wolf, all glad to have you along for week number two of the Ohio High School Football Playoffs. Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing on Friday nights throughout the playoffs. Divisions 5, 6, and 7. Taking to the field tomorrow nights on Saturday. AM820scoreboard.com is the place to go if you miss any of the scores. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at AM820. ThisWeekSports.com is where you can get the more in-depth, the wrap-ups, the recaps of the games as well, and also the coverage, why it's going on. You can check them out on Twitter as well, at ThisWeekSports, and all of the writers there giving updates throughout the games at thisweeksports.com. In Division 1, Region 2, Marysville has been the class of that region all year, and that continues tonight. They improved to 11-0. They beat Perrysburg 42-6. Their head coach, Brent Johnson, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, you guys jumped out to a big early lead over Perrysburg and cruised to this win tonight. How were you able to do it?
Well, I think our kids, it was a really good team win for us. You know, we had a good week of practice, and our kids came out fast tonight, and I just thought we were really, really physical, in all three phases of the game, and I think that was kind of what set us apart tonight.
Well, Coach, this is a Perrysburg team that shut out three of their last four opponents, and you guys throw up some serious points on them. Did you notice something, or as you said, did you just being physically more dominant?
Well, you know, they showed a four front to us and a five front to us on tape, and we had good tapes on them, and they came out in a four front. We came out with our double tight end package, so I think we kind of outnumbered them in spots, and our kids really played well tonight. We've been really working on courses in our offense and seeing those holes. The longer you go in this, the quicker those holes shut up, and our kids saw them tonight. I thought our backfield ran the ball really well, but our O-line really kind of anchored us tonight and kept us ahead of the sticks. I know we had one turnover where Griffin Johnson probably tried to do a little bit too much, but other than that, we were pretty clean on offense, and that's what we've been honestly looking for each week. We feel as if we're getting better that way, and our kids are buying into that, and just being clean tonight, I felt like we were.
Well, Coach, the beautiful thing about the offense that you run is it's really a counterpunch offense. What does the defense give you? And where do you take it? It's kind of like these passing games that are so you know, the short passing games, the West Coast offense kind of thing. You're running the ball downhill at people using angle blocking, and you're getting your best running backs the ball going north and south with their shoulder square. I mean, it's a tough offense to stop, and you guys are executing at a very, very high level. So obviously that portends good things for next week, we hope.
Yes, and you know, we just got to keep our nose on the grind and continue to keep one game at a time, and how much better can you get every week? You know, the Wing T is a numbers game, and they were really sensitive to motion, so we came out and didn't give them a lot of motion right away, and then as the game went on, we kind of changed philosophy a little bit and gave them motion. So we were trying to stay a step ahead of them tonight. The thing that jumped out about to me about Perrysburg is they played hard, and that I you know, our kids are playing hard, and we thought they would match that, and they played hard, and our kids took advantage of some guys being misaligned or out of position and really took it to the house for us. So that was nice to see.
Well, Coach, you bring up a good point. You said you just want to improve every week. How much more room is there for improvement?
Well, I think you can always get better at the details, and you know, our program is still learning how to be very disciplined, and the little things make a big difference. And I know that's very cliche-ish in the coach's terms, but with what we do, and you know, our defense is playing well, our offense is putting up some points right now, and I credit that to our players tuning into those little things. And I know our staff preaches it. Our kids are probably tired of hearing about it, but they're buying in, and it's paying for them right now.
Coach, you really haven't had a close game in the last 7 or 8 weeks since that Derby game, the 21-14 win in overtime. And honestly, that's really your only close game of the year. As these games, as we head on to weeks 13, 14, 15, and the games are going to get harder and harder and the opposition gets tougher, are you worried at all about that with your team not having played in that really close game since the Derby game?
We talk about that, about how we've got to stay patient, and you know, we want to wear on people through 48 minutes, and you know, if we can get a big lead early, great, but stay the course, stay patient. You know, we always talk about starting fast, but stay patient, because you know, our belief is if you stop us for two, eventually those will be fours. And then eventually, hopefully, the fours will pop into eights. And, you know, our kids, we talk about that, and we practice hard. We put our kids in that position sometimes and practice situationally of, hey, you're down three or you're third and 13, and we got to get a first. How do we handle that? And you hope when you get in that situation, and we were fortunate enough against Derby to find a turnover in overtime to get that win. And I feel like Derby's a really well-coached team, a very disciplined team, and they match us very well that way. And I think it's unique about our region. And, you know, we play that Springfield, that Toledo area, and you're not familiar with teams. And that goes both ways, though, too. You know, we played the Derbies and the Davidsons and all of that. You know a little bit about what they're about. And you go into this region, and you don't know as much about them, and it always makes you a little uneasy. And what are they really about? Are you seeing really what you're seeing on film? And you've got to trust those films, and that paid for us this week.
Well, Coach, do you look at football math any, and will you talk to your team about this, because you got Toledo Whitmer coming up next? That is a team that Dublin Jerome beat in week two, 28-23. And Dublin Jerome's the team that you beat 34-0 about 5 weeks later. Do you address that with your team just to get it out of the way?
Yeah, we will talk with them, and it's not apples to apples. Toledo Whitmer is a program that's constantly in the playoffs, has had success in the playoffs, and you know, our program hasn't won this round for quite a few years, and we've got to know how to do that. I think we're learning how to do that, and we'll address that and you know, keep our kids level that way. But at the same time, there'll be a sense of urgency to get better and to be right on Friday night.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win tonight. 11-0 means you get to play in week 13 next week. Congratulations on the win, Coach, and good luck against Whitmer.
Thank you, guys.
The head coach of Marysville, Brent Johnson. The 6 points they gave up tonight, they've now given up 71 points all season long, and they scored 42 points on a defense tonight that had three shutouts in its last four games.
How do you roll up with a four-man front?
Well, the thing is, they may have a four-man front, but maybe a 4-4. They may put eight in the box. So the wing T, and this goes all the way back to Kiske Prep and all these guys, that the gurus of the wing T. You know, we used to go over to Kiske and meet with Chuck Clausing and all these guys. And these guys were like 8,000 years old then. They had like the Methuselah beards and the whole deal. And they said, listen, if you have a 4-4, run off tackle. If it's a 4-3, find a flank. And every young coach that ever coached a wing T knew that. If you run a 4-3, that means you got eight gaps on offense and they've only got seven defenders. Find the weak side and run the daylights out of that. Make them make the adjustment. When they make the adjustment, they have to give something up on the strong side, come back that way. And that's basically what he was talking about. No motion to begin with. Let's just run what we do. Then as they begin to adjust, then run motion away. And he said something else that I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, we have to do the little things. Now, he knows, because he coaches the wing T, there are no little things. They're all big things right now. There are no – every little step, every little angle, everything is a big thing now. And that's what you're trying to improve. You talked about improvement. How much more can you improve? Mm-hmm. Those are the things you improve. Your hat placement, your hand placement, your foot placement, every little detail now matters.
Well, to follow up on that, he said, you know, it's the 2-yard plays early on that are 4-yard plays now. And the other thing that he said, because we've talked about that game with Darby, we seem to bring that up about every week. And as he said, he goes, it's just a great matchup.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's what he's going to talk to his team about, that, you know, Jerome did beat Whitmer. And they did crush Jerome, but it's the matchup involved
exactly
there. You know, you've got it, and he's got to convince these kids to put that out of their mind. But I don't think that's an issue. I really, really don't. I don't think that's an issue because, you know,
they're used to doing this. This
wow
is what they do, and this is how they do it. And if you're going to break up a concrete step, and you've got a sledgehammer in your hand, you're not going to do it with one blow. You're going to beat on it, and you're going to beat on that step, and beat on that step until you get that first fleck of concrete to pop off. And when you see that first little fleck come off of it, you know you got it. But that's the same way the wing T is. You just keep doing what you do. The twos become fours. The fours become eight. And suddenly you pop one, and it's 7-0.
But it's that defense, too.
Oh,
that
defense is stifling.
Is lights out. Yeah. And I tell you, I saw, because we don't get to see a whole lot of it, but we'll see them on the computers here. But I think it was last week or maybe the week before, we saw highlights of Marysville's game when Gabe Powers returned a punt for a touchdown.
Damn, that wasn't
and
right.
I tell you what, I saw three kids make business decisions on that one. I mean, they didn't get out of the play, but they went as low as they possibly could.
I just don't know if there's a weakness on this team.
No, I mean, and you think of this, you can say, well, they don't pass. Well, but their option is three different runners.
That's exactly
right. And they're all
good. It's a shell game.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
It's a shell game. Who's got the ball? And oh, by the way, then the quarterback bootlegs and he only has to throw it five or six times a game because they're going to be open every time. Because you have to put eight in the box to stop this running attack. If you don't, it's suicide.
And when you're playing a defense like that, that puts a lot of pressure on the other team's offense.
Well, their defense it reminds me a lot of New Albany's defense. They fly down the line of scrimmage. You don't see them making great penetration moves, but there are no gaps. There are no cutbacks. Everybody's got their gap sound, and they move sideline to sideline. Listen, this is a good football team, and I wish we could watch them more often. They're in Marysville. I wish they were closer here so we could see
them. I'll tell you who else is a good football team. Bloom Carroll.
You think?
You're going to call them good? Boy, I tell you what.
They're really good.
Yeah. Don't sugarcoat it.
12-0 now on the season after a 31-3 win over Highland tonight. Their head coach, Wade Bartholomew, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, we'll ask you the same question to start off with that we asked Upper Arlington's Justin Buttermore. This game tonight, a rematch for you from week one. You beat Highland 49-17. Obviously, the teams are different now than they were in week one. But just how difficult was it to play these guys again now in the playoffs?
It was extremely difficult. I thought Coach Stover and his staff did an unbelievable job of getting their kids ready to come out and play and do some different things. I thought defensively they ran a little bit different scheme. Their offense was kind of completely different. They found their knack, handing their really good sophomore running back the ball, and they kind of just physically said, "Hey, we're coming to play football," and it was awesome. It was great to finally have a halftime where we had to make adjustments and come out and really have to drive the ball to change the momentum of the game. It was just super exciting. And it's playoff football.
Well, Coach, I got to admit, you're probably about the first one that said he enjoyed a close game when you've been rolling up couple 49-point wins and a 36-point win. But when you look at your kids, I mean, because it was 3-0, you were down 3-0 there for a while. And, I mean, what was on their faces?
Just normal, honestly. I mean, that's the greatest part about this team. We have so many veteran kids that played in so many tough games last year and made it to the Final Four that it was nothing different. This is actually the first time all year we've been down past the first quarter. So for our kids to just basically look at it like a normal game, like, hey, we're okay, we're good, let's just keep playing, it was a really nice relief for a coach, you know, that's constantly worried about that. Like, hey, how are we going to handle going to halftime down? Or how are we going to handle, you know, being in the third quarter and being down 7 or 14? Like, what are we going to do? So to be able to look our kids in the eye tonight and know that they just kind of, you know, I don't want to say shrugged it off, but kind of looked at it like, hey, we're in a football game. This is what we play for.
Well, that's half the fun of the playoffs is making that, you know, that turnaround. You're down 3-0. It's not a big deal. It's one score. But you guys aren't used to being down. And when your kids just say, hey, we can do this, that kind of makes you feel good. Now, next week you've got a Heath Bulldog team coming, and, you know, they're a good football team too. So, you know, as the farther you go, and you know this, the tougher it gets, the little things become big things. And as I just said not a few minutes ago, there are no little things this time of year.
No, absolutely not. Every first and 10, you know, that only gets a yard is a big play. Every third and one that you don't get is a huge play. Like, they're not shrug your shoulder plays anymore. They're huge momentum changers, or they're, you know, a momentum booster for you guys. And I think that's what our kids kind of got a chance to feel tonight, was just how big that 3-yard run really is, you know, because like you said, we've had the opportunity to play in some games where, hey, if you're in 2nd and 9, it didn't mean anything. If you're in 3rd and 12, it didn't mean anything. You know, we either punt it away or we get the first down and we move on. But like tonight, just a 1st and 10, 3-yard run was a big momentum shift, you know, for us. And I think that was what was really nice for us to finally play in a game like that. But you're right, there are no little things anymore. It's just everything that you do is a big moment.
Coach, coming into this game, you were coming in 3 straight shutouts in a row. You had outscored your opponents 134-0. In the last 9 games now, Coach, your defense has given up 36 points. Could your defense play any better than they have here down the stretch?
No, absolutely not. I mean, yeah, we hope they can, because I like you guys.
Yeah, 4 more shutouts would be great.
Better. Yeah, we're going to keep playing better and better teams. So, yeah, I think hopefully they can keep stepping up to the challenge. But I know it sounds crazy, but just watching Highland tonight in the first quarter drive down and have the ball for 5-6 minutes and kick a field goal was like shocking to us. It was shocking to our stands. It was shocking to our kids on the sidelines. Like, it's just weird that that's what happened to us. But man, did they respond after that? Unbelievably. I think, you know, Highland after that had maybe 5 more first downs the rest of the game. We went 3 straight 3-and-outs in the second half so that we could put up 21 and unanswered points to get up. This group of young men, they thrive on attacking. They thrive on momentum. And as soon as we got up 7-3, like, they just flipped the switch and just went after Highland and really just started pushing them backwards at that time.
Well, you got that close first half out of your way. You said it was nice to make adjustments. You ready to get back to winning the 49-0 games now?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. But, I mean, I know that that's going to be really, really tough to do from here on out. So it was just nice to be able to come in at halftime and just smile at our kids and say, hey, this is what playoff football is all about. Like, these moments, these games, you know, we got to come out on the second half drive and make it a 14-3 game and then get a stop, you know. Like, just being able to have those conversations is awesome. But, yeah, I mean, if we won 49-0 all the way through, like, I'm not going to complain, honestly. But at the same time, like, I love high school football. I really enjoy these kind of games to where, you know, you have to have those momentum shifts and big plays are 3rd and 1s, you know. Like, it's a lot of fun to play in.
Coach Wolf mentioned Heath next week. They get a big win tonight over Indian Valley. Bloom Carroll and Heath just seems like a small school, great football game to me. Do you know anything about the Bulldogs yet?
I know they're the Bulldogs. a little bit. We got the opportunity to watch them play Circleville early in the year because we played Circleville right after they did. I know they have two really extremely athletic wide receivers and a running back that I think is really dynamic. So I think it's going to be a great football game. I know they're really well coached. Coach does a great job over there. He's had some 10-0 teams. He's had some 9-1 teams in a very tough league over there that he plays in. So I know it's going to be a nice, tough battle. We might see some more athletes than what we've seen all year long. So we got to definitely make some adjustments to what we do offensively and defensively there. But really it's ultimately going to come down to just who can be the tougher, you know, football team physically and mentally.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight, 31-3 over Highland, and moving on to take on Heath next week. Good luck, Coach.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Bloom Carroll, Wade Bartholomew. Talk about Marysville defense. Bloom Carroll's defense is right there with them.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, it's been impressive all year. Now, here's one time, Coach, maybe a little bit of football math we can listen to. Bloom Carroll beat Circleville 46-0. Heath beat Circleville 45-0. Maybe it'll be a good game next week.
Yeah, it'll be surprising if anybody scores 45 points against these defenses, because I'm telling you, this Bloom Carroll defense is lights out. I don't know who their defense coordinator, I don't know what he does, you know, but whatever it is, you ought to keep doing it because it's a pretty good potion.
Pushing the right buttons for sure.
You got that right.
Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick timeout, but when we come back, more undefeated coaches. That means they're moving on to next week. Rob Page of Big Walnut and Bubba Kidwell from New Albany, they're coming up next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm Agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
I don't think men have ever been as lonely as they are today, and it's easy to get depressed about it. Where are the kind of guys I hung out with in college? Everybody's too busy, no one makes time for one another, workplaces and neighborhoods, they're just too transient to form meaningful connections. You know what? Maybe that's all true. But if you really want to know what the problem is, look in the mirror. Instead of whining, you need to become the change you want to see in the world by becoming the kind of friend you wish you had. Think of the qualities of your ideal friend. Seriously, think of a list of what that person would look like. Now, you ready for this? Go and be that friend to somebody. But to who? This person has this flaw, that person has that flaw. Stop that. Be the friend you wish you had, and I promise you, you'll form the friendships you've been missing. The world is a lonely place. You have the power to fix that. This is Chris Stefanik. For more of our men's program, visit reallifecatholic.com.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444.
Laughter is a great marriage builder, releases endorphins, and decreases stress. What things make your spouse laugh? Be sure to take note, or maybe you have some inside jokes. Make it a mission to give your spouse a stitch in his side tonight. You probably fell in love with your spouse's laugh at one point when dating. Take this opportunity to appreciate it again. This daily marriage tip is brought to you by the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Columbus Diocese.
Welcome back to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Ryan Baker, the guru, Lee Cochran, and Coach Larry Wolf all with you here, wrapping up the first night of round two of the playoffs. Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing tonight. Divisions 5, 6, and 7 will play tomorrow night. In Division 2, Region 7, that's where some Central Ohio teams are, and one of them was Dublin Scioto. They were the sixth seed in that region. Their season comes to an end tonight, though, as they lose to Worcester 20-10. Worcester will play Uniontown Green next week, who beat North Canton Hoover 14-10. Westerville South season comes to an end at the hands of Massillon Washington 50-19. The Tigers beat the Wildcats. The Wildcats end with a record of 8-3. And Massillon Washington next week will take on the number one seed in undefeated 12-0 Big Walnut Eagles. They beat Canal Winchester 38-7 tonight, and their head coach Rob Page joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach Page, pretty impressive win for your team tonight. Another rematch. You just took on Canal Winchester a couple of weeks ago. How weird was that? Easy was that? Difficult was that, taking on a team that you had just played and beat?
Well, I can tell you it was a lot easier to break down all their film because we didn't have to do it over the weekend. So, you know, we already had 10 games broken down, so that was really nice, actually. So, but we, you know, we felt like going into the game too, like, you know, what are you gonna do on offense? Well, you're gonna do the things you had success with, and that was, they had success throwing the ball to the tight end. They have a really good tight end. And then quarterback run game. So we felt like they were going to kind of double down on that. And, we made some nice defensive adjustments to give them problems with some of their quarterback run game. And we're not going to let, number nine, their tight end, beat us. So, you know, that's a kudos to our defensive staff and, you know, our defensive coordinator, Jason Ross. And then, you know, for us on offense, you know, we looked at, what are they going to double down on? And we really felt like when we lined up in 12 personnel, they were going to give us super heavy boxes, and they did. So, you know, we kind of did some things formationally to get them out of the heavy box. And we were able to take some shots, you know, because they were in basically cover zero the whole night. So, you know, it was nice to see our guys execute. Our sophomore quarterback, Jake Neer, this was his best game of the year. He was tough in the run game. And, you know, and he had two touchdown passes. So for him to be able to come in and play so well because, you know, in week 10, he did not play well versus them. And, you know, I told him before the game, give Canal your best. Whatever that is, give him your best. And he went out and he executed and he was tough. And we talked about this week, you know, the toughest team is going to win. So I was really proud of how tough our guys were.
Well, Coach, coming off that game last week was your closest game of the year. How much of a relief was it to see that you opened it up to what we've been accustomed to seeing from Big Walnut this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the close game last week definitely, I think, put a couple more gray hairs on my chin. So, but I can tell you in the first half, I mean, this was not an easy game. This was not a blowout game. They're extremely physical. They might have, you know, player for player, the best team speed in our league, by position. I mean, you know, we broke some long ones and they hawked us down in week 10. And, you know, and so I know their weight program is really, really strong. And, you know, so I don't necessarily think it was an easy game, but I do know that our guys, you know, our guys play hard and they executed and they were tough, which is what we wanted. So I'm proud of that.
Well, Rob, I don't know a whole lot about gray hairs on the chin, but I know a razor will take care of some of those. Here's the point. Next week, you've got Massillon Washington, and they are a team that's been the you know, the bridesmaid forever in the state playoffs. And I know that that's a huge game coming up. So you can enjoy this one for a little while, but you're going to get busy tomorrow morning on Massillon, Washington. What do you know about Massillon, Washington?
Well, I'm actually familiar with Coach Moore from when he was back as an assistant in Cincinnati at Hamilton. And we kind of got to know each other a little bit. And then I've worked camps with him when he was at Minster. And then obviously I followed his team when he was at LaSalle. So I kind of know him. And, you know, I'm a football guy, and that's pretty much all I do. So, you know, I do know a little bit about Massillon. And the one thing I do know is they're physical, they tackle well, they run the football, and offensively they're going to execute. You know, they're a gap scheme team, wide zone team out of 11 personnel. They're going to want to take shots. And they have some pretty talented players. So, you know, and they may have been a bridesmaid in the playoffs, but they've not been a bridesmaid in our region winning it the past 4 years. So to win Region 7, you got to go through Massillon. You know, I don't care what the seeds are. You got to go through them, and they're tough, and they're going to have a great game plan. They have a great coaching staff, and it's exciting to get to play a team of that caliber on the state level. You know, I mean, this is why you practice hard. This is why you train hard. This is why we're so demanding as coaches, because we want to play these teams, and you know, we're not just satisfied with winning our league or getting the playoffs. Like, we're not making playoff shirts. You know, that's not something at Big Walnut we're going to do. Making the playoffs is the standard. Making a run is the expectation. So, you know, that's a little bit about Massillon. You know, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we already have some film on them, and you know, we're going to start breaking that down tonight.
Well, Coach, you brought up your quarterback. When your quarterback's playing well, I mean, obviously you've got just an excellent running back. Nate went from 196 to go over 2,000 yards. That balance, you know, we've talked to coaches who said, you know, we've still got room to improve. And the balance, is the balance one way for you to improve so you can beat a team like Massillon, Washington?
Yeah, you know, I don't really look at things in terms of when I use the term balance, I'm not thinking 50-50 run pass. I'm thinking, to me, us being able to be balanced means we can be able to throw the ball efficiently and run the ball efficiently. So if they're giving us a light box, we're going to run the ball 20 times in a row. If they're giving us a heavy box and giving us the opportunity to maybe take some shots, we got to be able to take those shots in quick strike and punish people for you know, not playing a deep safety or playing a two shell or something like that. So yes, being able to be efficient in both the run and the pass game is extremely important to our offense.
So being balanced means basically controlling the defense with your offense.
Yeah. We want to dictate to teams. We don't necessarily, you know, we don't want defenses to dictate to us. Now, we're not going to run to bad box looks and do things like that, but that's why we're so formationally diverse, is because we're going to find the way to do what we want to do, and we're not going to let you take away what we like to do.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a huge win tonight. I know it's never easy to beat a team, especially a league rival, twice in the same season, but you guys do it with ease tonight, 38-7 over Canal Winchester. Coach, good luck next week against Massillon.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
The head coach of Big Walnut, Rob Page, and his team just keeps putting up impressive performance after impressive performance.
And listen, they have been very impressive all year. I mean, this isn't a fluke. They are a good, solid football team. They have good players. Obviously, Severs is a tremendous running back, but they can throw it. They can run it. They play good defense. They're a solid football team that can win this game next week. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by Massillon, Washington.
No, I don't think so either. I'll agree with that. I think that Coach Page will put it in his favor that he knows Massillon's mm-hmm. coach, mm-hmm. you know, and makes him seem a little bit more human.
Well, and it was kind of fun to listen to him actually talk a little coach speak. 11 personnel, 12 personnel, zero coverage. I'm going, wow. This is like a football clinic. This is kind of fun.
It's just like talking to Ryan and me, right?
As far as you know, no. But it's okay.
We're a little more in-depth, though. We're a little more confusing, I think, with our terminology.
Absolutely.
Well, impressive win, though, there for Big Walnut tonight. Congratulations for them. That'll be a huge game next week.
I hope we get to talk to him next week.
I do, too.
Because that means that their program will have climbed a huge mountain. You know, they've gotten here. He doesn't want to print up playoff T-shirts. He wants to print up winning T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the last time Big Walnut went this far, they won the state title in 07. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, pretty good. A linebacker, running back then, too. Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
I'll tell you what's another great matchup next week, guys. Upper Arlington, 12-0, versus New Albany, 12-0. And that's because New Albany beat Hilliard Darby tonight, 49-26. Their head coach, Bubba Kidwell, joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, this one was a really close game through the first half, 21-20. You guys led, and then you just pulled away in the second half, 49-26. We mentioned the final on the scoreboard. Coach, what was the key in that second half for you guys? You outscored them 28-6.
Yeah, well, our offense did a great job moving the ball all night long, and Brian Center, offensive coordinator, he's always put our kids in a great position to be successful. And early on, we could tell we were going to be able to move the ball, and we knew it had to be up to our defense, if we wanted to win and move on in advance. And, our defense did a great job in the second half. James Yarbrough, our defensive coordinator, made some great adjustments, and it paid off. And Blake Horvath is, he's probably one of the best athletes that we have played, and I have so much respect for Darby and, what John does over there in their program. And it was a great win for us. And, we're just happy to move on, and we're excited.
Well, Coach, you talked a little bit about your offense. Jaden Garnes, 244 yards, four touchdowns. Brock, 165, a touchdown rushing, a touchdown passing. I mean, I don't know. Does it get any better than that? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I was just hearing Coach, Paige talk about, balance and we have a lot of balance. We don't throw the ball a lot, but we have a lot of balance between our running backs. We have four guys, like I said before, that we think can go and do something with the football when they get it. And tonight, Jaden and Brock, they did a great job, and so did Christian Manville. And Jamison Rossler, he was a little quiet tonight, but then he had a couple big catches and he scored. So, Brian Finn has made us hard to defend, and I'm proud of our guys and what they're doing, and this is great for our program.
Well, Bubba, I love you, but you're off my Christmas card list now. You beat my Darby boys. I'm sorry, this blood and thicker than water thing, I can't have that. But the reality is, I was telling these guys off the air, it does my heart good to see a couple Wing T guys go undefeated. And people don't understand this offense. It's very much like the option offenses. It's very much like the short passing game offenses. They're counterpunch offenses where they take exactly what the defense gives you. When you have four guys in the backfield, your three running backs and the quarterback who can all carry the mail, you don't need to throw it 25 times. You just need to throw it efficiently. And if you can do that, five or six or seven or eight passes a game with that kind of mixture of the offense, it really makes it go.
Yeah, I actually think we're exciting to watch on offense. Even though we don't put the ball up in the air that much, but when we do, we're completing about 70% of our passes. So, I love what our kids are doing. Our offensive line does an amazing job getting off the ball, and they take pride in blocking their guy, getting away from everyone, and blocking out in space. So it's it was a great team effort. It was one of those games that and we had a little adversity early on, and our kids responded, and our coaches did a great job making adjustments and And with that, we're moving on.
Well, Coach, yeah, yes, you're moving on. Congratulations. And just like we talked to Coach Buttermore earlier, you know, enough of celebrating tonight. Let's talk a little bit about next week with Upper Arlington. You know, you guys are, 20 minutes apart, but you've had no common opponents. You know, Coach Buttermore said we've not seen a lick of New Albany outside of highlights on TV. Do you know much about Upper Arlington?
I know they have a pretty good running back. I see him on the news quite a bit.
Yeah.
And every time I see him, he's running people over. So, but I do know, you know, Coach Buttermore very well, you know, in his program and what he's done. We played him for years, 3 years in a row in the playoffs. And, you know, he had some great teams there at Tri-Valley and, you know, everywhere he's been, he's won and his teams are so well coached and, you know, this is one of those games that we kept thinking, you know, we can get our guys to this game. This is going to be a special environment and special for our kids. And, you know, both teams being 12-0 and, you know, it's about making memories and excited about this opportunity.
Well, Coach, I got to be honest, we're excited to watch it next week for sure. Congratulations on the big win over Darby tonight, Coach, and good luck next week in that huge matchup.
Thanks a lot, guys.
He's the head coach of New Albany, Bubba Kidwell. I just got a text from someone that said New Albany was 8 of 9 tonight on third down. Larry, how huge is that?
Well, a lot of that has to do with first and second down. You know, if you're 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, that's a whole different ball game than if you're 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9. They run the ball so doggone efficiently. I mean, the wing T basically has 5 running plays. It has a buck sweep. It has a belly play. It has what we call a down or a G scheme play. It has a counter play trap and a trap play. Those are the 5 base plays. But what happens off the wing T is you throw in a jet sweep. It's not just a buck. It's a jet. Then you have a lead sweep. And then you have a little reverse here, a little half to half, you know, just little wrinkle plays. But all it does is you're trying to make the defense watch you. If you can get the defense to look at all that misdirection stuff for just a nanosecond, it sets up all your blocks. And so you don't have to be a devastating offensive tackle because the linebacker is frozen for just a half a second longer than he normally would be. And now you can get on him. And that's the beauty of the wing T. It forces the defense to watch you.
But I guess what I see as interesting is these teams both 12-0. They got here in different paths. Yep. Wing T, the run pass. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but what I also find interesting, both of these teams have played against that other style.
Yep.
And they're familiar with it.
Absolutely.
So that's what makes this an even just more enjoyable kind of matchup.
It's going to come down to, guess what, blocking and tackling, not making mistakes, don't turn the ball over, and you can get out of this game with a win. So cliche.
Well, and we talk about Grisak and Garns in this and the offenses, but both of these teams have great defenses too.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Should be a fun one. 12-0 versus 12-0. That just makes me excited.
You don't get that very often.
I know, but you still sit there and think, okay, if you had your choice of game, are you going to that one? Are you going to the Pickerington Battle Part 2?
I'm
going to
watch both of them on TV. Is what I'm going
to do. I'll get in here early next week.
We get that Pickerington Battle Part 2 because partly Pickerington North gets a 20-14 win tonight. They're moving on to round 3 of the playoffs over Gahanna. Their head coach, Nate Hillerich, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, huge win for you guys, avenging that loss at the end of the regular season. Gahanna beat you 28-20. You get them tonight 20-14. How big was that for you guys? How important was it? How excited were you to take them on again?
Man, it was a huge win for our program. You know, we had a tough week 9 and 10, and that was with Gahanna week 10. They got us by a score, and they get to come back. And you know, we played a tough Groveport team last week, and to find a way tonight, and it was really a team effort, great special teams, finding a way and found a way to win against a really, really good Gahanna football team.
Okay, Coach, I think last time we talked, Eli Kappas, yeah, he was out of the Wildcat and had rushed for a couple touchdowns. He threw for a couple tonight. What do you got going on down there, having your tight end throwing touchdown passes?
Well, that's one of them things. You know, Eli, I think he was defensive player of the year. He's a linebacker for us, played receiver, running back. He's played everywhere. hasn't thrown a pass all year. And we knew Gahanna's defense was really, really good. So we had to pull out all the stops, hit two big pass plays for touchdowns, because anytime he's in the game, all eyes are on him. They're doing whatever they can to stop him. So those were big plays for us and really, you know, carried us to find a way to win.
Coach, to go along with that, the two passes out of the Wildcat formation, you guys onside kicked at the beginning of the game. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we came out, everything's on the table. It's week 12, and we're trying to move on. Everybody's dealing with injuries and different things. We're trying to do whatever we can to find a way to win. Our kids are bought in, they're battling, and tonight we found a way. And I heard Coach was just talking about it's this time of the year, it comes down to the fundamentals. Who blocks better, tackles better, plays great special teams, and that's what we had to do, and it was a battle. It was tough for us to do anything on offense tonight. So finding a way with, a couple, I don't want to know if they're really trick plays, but, throwing out of the Wildcat, and we had a good punt return, an onside kick, just doing whatever it takes.
Well, Coach Hillard, the farther you go, those aren't trick plays anymore. Those are essential plays. You have to have them because everybody's good at this point. Everybody's scouted everybody. Everybody has every play that everybody's run all year. They know what you do. You know what they do. So to put in a little wrinkle here, a little wrinkle there, if you can just get them to stop for half a second and watch a play instead of attack you, it makes your offense go a little bit more. And maybe a fake punt or an onside kick, it seems like a risky play, but really you're week 13 now. There are no more risky plays. You just got to take the shot.
No, absolutely. I mean, and that's the truth. And you talk about being familiar. We're playing our crosstown rival this week, and it seems like over the last 10 years that North and Central seem to match up in the regular season and find a way to happen again in the playoffs. So we're excited about that, and we're going to be really familiar, and it might come down to some of those trick plays or some of them new things you want to do.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Coach. You had a couple touchdown passes out of the Wildcat, onside kick tonight. Anything left in the bag of tricks for next week?
Don't tell him.
We'll see. I know. It's just like you said, that's it. We got to be able to tackle well, block well. If we do that, hopefully we can be in the ball game in the fourth quarter.
You're playing them again. I know it's such a huge game down there. And how do you just keep it as a football game? Is that going to be a little bit of a test this week?
Yeah, I mean, for our kids, you got to make sure that they just focus and block out all the noise. There's nothing like when we play in the regular season, our student sections play a football game, the cheerleader, like, and this is like a real tackle football game at the Victory Park in Pickerington. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Every time we've played, the game sold out before Friday comes. So to be able to get to do it again a second time this year is exciting for our kids. They grew up playing together with these kids in Little League, so it's going to be fun. And what makes our rivalry, I think, in Pickerington so special is that, we're playing for something. Every time we play, when we're in the same league, the winner won the OCC, and now, we're playing in the regional semifinals. Last time we played in my first year, we played in the regional finals. So it's going to be a big football game, and it has implications for the next week. There's only 16 teams left.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win tonight over Gahanna, avenging that Week 10 loss. We will be watching next week for sure. Battle of Pickerington Part 2, you guys in Central.
Sounds good.
The head coach of Pickerington North, Nate Hillerich. 20-14, they get a big win tonight over Gahanna. And, Larry, we didn't even talk to him. They had a defensive touchdown in this one, too.
Listen, at this point in the playoffs, we just talked about it with a few of the other coaches. Every single play, every single snap, every single thing you do is magnified. And even if you don't get the onside kick, the fact that you did it forces that team now to defend it the next time. They're going, oh, is he going to do it again? Hartley used to do it all the time. They'd onside kick after every touchdown. I mean, so you're in the playoffs. You have to do what you do. You have to do it well. and then you have to throw a little bit of a curveball at them occasionally.
So Division One, Region Three, Upper Arlington beats Reynoldsburg 31-12. They take on New Albany next week, who beat Hilliard Darby 49-26. Pick Central, they get a 28-10 win over Bradley, setting up that rematch next week, Pickerington North versus Gahanna 20-14.
I just want to reiterate, Bubba's not getting a Christmas card this year. That's just the way it's going to be. I mean,
He'll get one from me, then.
Okay, that's fine. But you'll have to color yours with a crayon. I can at least write mine with a pen.
Guys, let's jump over to Division III, Region 11. Western Brown, they beat Bell Fountain tonight 50-20. They will play Jackson next week, who knocked off Eastmoor 17-6. The Warriors' season ends with a record of 7-4. Hartley's season comes to an end, too, at the hands of London 24-17. The Red Raiders beat Hartley tonight, and then they will take on Granville next week, who beat DeSales 19-12 this evening. Their head coach, Wes Schroeder, joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Coach, congratulations on the big win. This one was a rematch of you guys playing DeSales last year, a game that they won 56-35, but it was really close until the second half. I believe this was a game that got postponed from Friday night into Saturday, and so some crazy things happened. They had a couple defensive touchdowns, and penalties, and they were able to pull away. How excited were you guys to get a chance at them again and be able to beat them in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, the kids are more excited to play them than I was, but they were. Last year we took the lead early in the third quarter by one, and then it just kind of fell apart on us, and everything with last year was just crazy, and we just fell apart, and, we never recovered, and we kind of joked on the headset. We're like, we went up one here in the third tonight, and we said the same thing, like, hey, we're up here in the third. Let's see if it's any different than last year. And our kids obviously responded really well.
Well, Coach, that's just like Ryan to bring up last year when I want to talk about more about this year. I think that this is the first time Granville's had two playoff wins in the same year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's 11's the most wins they've had as well, or we've had. But, it's two wins and, against two quality opponents to boot. So, it's just a credit to our kids. They're just such good kids and work so hard.
Well, I know from reading some of the stories, it's quite a senior class you have. And some of the seniors that said, they've been eyeing this for quite some time. How great is it for you as a coach to see this class develop and actually, make good on what they said they could do?
Yeah, it really is. It's a really strong class. A couple of them went to Upper Arlington after went with Buttermore, his son, and one of his buddies, and then we lost Carson Crouch last week. So, but we just keep going through stuff, and our kids just keep working, keep finding a way to keep going. So, we were on our backup quarterback with Tyler Ernsberger tonight. He played great. And this is just such a close-knit group. And when you're close friends, and you it's just so hard to quit on each other. And I think that's, the name of football, just playing as hard as you can.
Is Carson expected back?
We were talking a little bit, it's possible, but it's a pretty serious knee injury, and it's possible to play with, but we don't know. I mean, it's still up in the air. We got to put him through some tests and see what it looks like cutting and stuff like that. So,
well, on more of the positive side, you said you got a good game out of your backup quarterback, and you also have a pretty good running back too, and Devin Haley. He came in tonight with about 1,500 yards rushing. It's just good balance from your offense.
Yeah, and that was part of the game plan going in. We know with Devin, he's a special, but he's got such great balance. He's the first play of the game tonight. The crowd starts cheering when they tackled him for a 1 yard loss, and then he squirts out of there for like a 15 yard gain. But we've seen it over and over. So he's just so hard to bring. He's got such great balance and lower body strength, and he's a phenomenal football player. So we built our game plan around him and then protecting our young quarterback to try to get the ball out of his hands a little bit and stuff like that. But yeah, he is who we thought he was, and he showed up big tonight again. He broke a big one there to put us up two scores, and then he broke one when we ran the clock out there at the end.
Well, Coach Schroeder, not only are you 11-0, you avenged last year's loss to DeSales. You beat a perennial powerhouse in Central Ohio, and now next week you're going to play a London team that beat another perennial powerhouse in Hartley tonight. So what do you know about the London Red Raiders going into that that game next week?
I don't know a ton. I know they're tough, another physical team downhill. We saw a little bit of their film. I think they played Licking Valley earlier in the year. And obviously they're a totally different team since then. They played Zanesville, another conference foe of ours. I just know they're tough. And they play hard, and that's what you're going to get at this point in the season. They're well coached and all that stuff. So I haven't got a chance to dive into much of the film yet, so it's hard telling, all that stuff. But we're just excited to be playing, whether it's Hartley or London. It didn't matter to us as long as we get a chance.
Well, congratulations on tonight's win. That's a huge win.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
He's the head coach of Granville, Wes Schroeder. His team now sitting at 11-0 after a 19-12 win over DeSales tonight. Next week, they will play London, who knocked off Hartley 24-17. Their head coach, Kyle Cutler, joins us now. Actually, it looks like we lost Coach Cutler, so not going to be able to get him there. Must have just dropped there for us. That was going to be exciting to talk to both of them back-to-back. But London is a team now that has reeled off 10 straight wins after going 0-2. That should be a really good football game next
week. Yeah, I was gonna tell Coach Schroeder, don't look at that Licking Valley film. Because they've won 10 in a row. That was a turning point for this London ball club.
I saw that London team tonight play Hartley, and they stood toe-to-toe with Hartley, and they were probably the more physical of the two teams. They went downhill. They ran maybe at least 8 or 9 quarterback sneaks for 7 or 8 yards. Just they didn't have a nose tackle in, and they just took the ball and went right up the middle, and they were physical. They were quick on the edges. They're a solid football team.
And there's not a whole lot of teams that have done that to Hartley.
No, and survived to say anything about it.
And they've got a really good linebacker. It looks like he plays tight end, too, and Isaiah Jones, who's going to Indiana.
Well, he kind of plays, it's kind of a tight end, but he plays more of a slot H-back, and so they use him as a lead blocker. And I'm going to tell you what, he's a big hombre.
And they had big runs from their running back, Antoine Burns, and their quarterback, Dylan Combs, tonight as well,
But you,
too.
You go back over to Granville, though. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. Mm. And your backup comes in, and I'm sure they missed a beat, but it wasn't missing two beats.
No,
it didn't look like they missed much at all. Guys, we have every score in the state of Ohio tonight for divisions 1, 2, 3, and 4. So let's go ahead and give them before we've got to get out of here. In division 1, region 2, Marysville's moving on 42-6. They beat Perrysburg. Next week, the Monarchs play Toledo Whitmer, who beat Centerville tonight 42-31. Dublin Jerome's season comes to an end with a record of 7-5. They fall to Springfield tonight 34-0. And Dublin Kaufman, their season comes to a close as well, too. 38-8, they lose to Findlay. In Division 1, Region 3, Upper Arlington, 31-12 winners over Reynoldsburg. That'll set up a huge matchup with New Albany next week. 49-26, they beat Hilliard Darby tonight. Battle of Pickerington Part 2. Pickerington Central beats Hilliard Bradley tonight 28-10. Pickerington North beats Gahanna 20-14. Those two will meet up next week. Don't we got to just find another football field in Pickerington and play that one there? Don't send these teams anywhere, right, Lee?
Yeah, I figure that probably ends up at Gahanna.
Yeah, it's probably a good
Canal. Point. One of the two, close.
Groveport.
I'm gonna say. Tell you what, it could end up at DeSales.
I think they should have.
Don't be surprised about that one.
They should have to go to Springfield or something. Do something really crazy. Send them.
Do you know what? You know what? How about we do this? How about we take up our Arlington, New Albany, and then the Pickeringtons, and throw them an Old Crew Stadium.
That'd be fun. I think Upper Arlington, New Albany might be at the sales, actually.
Yeah. Hey, let's just go to Whitefield. Newark's close.
Yeah. But I'd love to see a doubleheader someplace that's going to hold enough
fun.
People.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. That would be really fun. In Division 2, Region 7, Big Walnut, they're moving on. They beat Canal Winchester 38-7. They will play Massillon, Washington next week, who topped Westerville South 50-19. Also in that region, Uniontown Green gets by North Canton Hoover 14-10. They will play Worcester, who doubled up Dublin Scioto tonight 20-10. And Lee, we talked last week. What a great weekend. What a great Friday night it was for the Dublin schools. not a good night tonight as they go 0-3.
No, and, you know, it was Dublin Kaufman last week that pulled the 14-3 upset, and so did in Worcester, you know, beating Berlin, you know, and then Worcester's got it going. You know, another win over a good Scioto football team.
Just get hot at the right time.
In Division 3, Region 11, we just talked to Granville coach Wes Schroeder. His team moving on. They beat DeSales 19-12, and they will play London next week, 24-17. The Red Raiders knock off Hartley tonight. Jackson's moving on. They beat Eastmore 17-6. They will play Western Brown next week, who topped the Bell Fountain 50-20. In Division 4, Region 15, Bloom Carroll 31-3. They beat Highland tonight. They'll take on Heath next week in a matchup of Bulldogs 41-20. They beat Indian Valley. St. Clairsville, the 2 seed in that region, moving on. They beat Carrollton 38-9. They will play Meadowbrook next week, who upset John Glenn 28-21. Now to the regions that do not have Central Ohio teams in them. Division 1, Region 1, Lakewood St. Ed's moving on. They beat Berea Mid-Park 56-14. Next week they will play Canton McKinley 62-21. They beat Maslin Jackson. You talk about traditional state powers in that matchup.
That'll be a lot of fun to watch that one.
Medina's 12-0. They beat Cleveland Heights tonight, 45-14. They will play Cleveland St. Ignatius, 42-12 winners over Stowe Monroe Falls. In Division 1, Region 4, Cincinnati Moeller, 35-7. They beat Fairfield. Next week, they take on Cincinnati Princeton, 37-35. That's a good 90s matchup right there, Moeller versus Princeton. St. X, they're moving on. They beat Cincinnati Elder 42-7. Next week, they play Lakota West, who beat Milford 49-14. Division 2, Region 5, Cleveland Benedictine moving on 31-12. They beat Riverside. Next week, they play Walsh Jesuit 23-14, winners over Hudson. Nordonia beats Willoughby South 42-17. Next week, they take on Akron Hoban, who cruised 48-28 over Austintown Fitch. Division 2, Region 6, Medina Highland, 11-1 after beating Anthony Wayne, 38-14. Next week, they play Toledo Central Catholic, 54-0. They beat St. John's Jesuit tonight. Avon moving on, 52-26. They beat Fremont Ross. Next week, they take on Olmsted Falls, who beat Barberton 41-7. In Division 2, Region 8, Piqua, the 1 seed, remains undefeated, 17-13. They beat Cincinnati Withrow. Edgewood, 52-15 winners over Stebbins. Kings Mill, the 2 seed, falls to Winton Woods, 31-21. Kings Mill's first loss of the season. Winton Woods takes on Cincinnati LaSalle, 45-21. They beat Anderson tonight. Moving to Division 3, Region 9, Chardon, the defending state champs. They're 12-0, 63-7. They beat Streetsboro. Next week, they take on Canefield, who knocked off Hubbard, 21-7. Dover, they're 11-0, 43-42. They edge Aurora tonight. Next week, they play Kinston, who tops Steubenville, 49-42. In Division 3, Region 10, the 8th seed, Holy Name, moving on, 28-0. They shut out previously unbeaten Norton tonight. Next week, they play Padua Franciscan, 13-10 winners over Mansfield Senior. West Holmes is 12-0. They beat Tiffin Columbian, 28-25 tonight. They take on Rocky River next week, who beat Buckeye, 32-15. Division 3, Region 12, Hamilton-Baden, 17-0. They beat Lima Shawnee. Next week, they take on St. Mary's, who beat Chaminade Julian, 24-21 tonight. Tippecanoe knocks off Kettering Alter, 37-28. Next week, they play Bellbrook, who beat Wapakoneta, 42-35. Division 4, Region 13, West Branch beats Poland Seminary, 33-21. They take on Perry next week. A good friend of ours, old coach Bob Geswich, his team moving on. They beat Girard, 42-22. Cleveland Glenville knocks off Villa Angela St. Joseph's 34-13, and they will take on Youngstown Ursuline next week, who beat Salem 54-35. Division 4, Region 14, Perkins tops Edison 28-0. Port Clinton 44-13, they beat Keystone, so those two will match up next week. Clyde, 42-35 winners in double overtime over Shelby, will face Van Wert next week, 53-20 winners over Wauseon. Division 4, Region 16, Cincinnati, Wyoming's 12-0. They beat St. Paris Graham, 30-6. Next week, they take on Clinton Massey in a matchup of heavy hitters, 49-28. Massey beats Waverly tonight. Eaton, the two seeds moving on. They edge Milton Union 13-12 tonight. Next week they play Cincinnati McNicholas, who knocked off Bethel Tate 49-13. Tomorrow in Division 5 Region 19, Harvest Prep takes on Amanda Clear Creek. Columbus Academy faces undefeated Piketon. In Division 6 Region 23, Kip Columbus battles Barnesville. And Fairland takes on Worthington Christian. West Jeff is hosting Northmore. And then Division 7 Region 27, Newark Catholic hosts Caldwell. East Knox and Trimble. Bern Union hosts Hannibal River for the matchups of teams in the Central Ohio area for tomorrow. Round two, night one in the books. Lee, your final thoughts.
Well, the first one is Coach had said suggested a coach get a lemonade after a game. I think after doing that, pulling that off, you need a lemonade yourself.
Yeah, spike it with something.
lemonade sounds good right now.
I guess the big thing is, you know, just the 12-0 teams, the undefeated teams, you know, don't necessarily say 12-0 because Marysville is 11-0, but the undefeated teams, and we talked to how many undefeated coaches? I think, what, seven? And, you know, but the matchups next week are just dynamic. Upper Arlington, New Albany, the Pickeringtons, you know, Big Walnut. That's going to be such a good test for them, playing Massillon, Washington. I'm always fired at once we get to 11 o'clock. I kid the coaches, saying, "Hey, it's enough about the night. Let's talk about next week." It's enough about the night, man. I just want to get next Friday here.
Well, and then you've got Bloom Carroll, which we didn't even mention in your little thing. I'm telling you what, boys, the Bulldogs. Well, the Bulldogs going to win next week. It's either going to be the Heath Bulldogs or it's going to be Bloom Carroll Bulldogs. But I'm telling you what, this Bloom Carroll team's for real. They are the real deal.
What? Who do you think has the best shot making a run right now?
I've said it since we ended the regular season. I think Marysville and I think Bloom Carroll had the easiest paths. They probably have the two best defenses, and they may be the two best teams in their division.
And then there's Upper Arlington, just sitting there like the quiet little golden bears that they are, not bothering anybody, going about their business.
The quiet team.
Yeah.
The under-the-radar team. Pickerington Central. Nobody. I mean, we've said that all along since they got beat. Nobody's really talked about it. And, you know,
you can't be quiet when you call Pickerington Central.
And you know Coach Sherritt just loves it. That he's not the, you know, not the one everybody's talking about, shooting about. But there's just going to be some great games next week.
Guys, I know one thing for sure. You're talking about who's going to make a run. We're going to find out really soon for sure. Guys, don't forget, if you missed any of the scores or you want the scores tomorrow, am820scoreboard.com is the place. You want recaps on the games tonight, a little more in depth, thisweeksports.com is where you need to go. A big congratulations and thanks to the coaches who called in tonight, Jay Sherritt of Pickerington Central, Justin Buttermore from Upper Arlington, Brent Johnson, the head coach at Marysville, Wade Bartholomew from Bloom Carroll, Rob Page of Big Walnut, Bubba Kidwell, off of Larry's Christmas card list of New Albany, Nate Hillerich from Pickerington North, and Wes Schroeder from Granville. And again, congratulations not only to them, but all the coaches who won tonight in round two of the postseason. For our associate producer, Chris Higgins, doing a great job in there on the phones, getting all the coaches and my hosts, the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and our head coach, Larry Wolf. I'm Ryan Baker saying one final time, thanks for listening to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, everyone. We will see you next week.